just sat down. It's kind of a relaxing day, right? Unless you're preaching. I don't think I'm going to be too relaxed here, but we'll see. This message is, I believe, something the Lord just kind of burned into my heart a little bit that I want to preach it to you because I think it's very fitting for the day and age that we're living in. And I really had no intention of preaching this again, but I just felt like I kind of needed to, so hopefully it'll be a help to you. Why don't you look at Isaiah 59, please, down at verse number 16 is where we're going to start. Isaiah 59:16, it says, "And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and an helmet of salvation upon his head. He put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. To the islands he will repay recompense. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun." That's the east, right? "When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him." Let's pray. Father, I love you this morning. I ask you to be with my mind, be with my mouth, Lord. I ask you to fill me with the Holy Spirit of God. And Lord, I want to say that I want you to control me. I know that you'll never use a man you can't control. And in our human nature, Lord, it's hard sometimes to allow anything or anybody to control us. But I do want you and I desire you to control me this morning. So I pray that you'd help me to be able to give your people your words. I pray you'd help me to give this message the way you'd have me to give it today, for this moment, for these people. And I pray, Father, that you'd make me a blessing and a help. And I pray you'd give every individual in this room exactly what they need. It's hard sometimes to even explain, but it's amazing to watch the way you can take your word and you can give every individual exactly what they need out of it. So I pray that you'd do that. We ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to talk to you this morning, taking our thought from verse number 19, and specifically the last half of that verse. It says, "When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him." What I want to talk to you about is being a standard, or the standard being lifted up. What we need today is to be the people that God can lift up in the world in which we're living. As a standard against the flood that's coming against us. Now that word standard, I want you to understand what that means. It obviously comes from the same word as stand, right? And the word stand has this meaning to it. It says, the Webster's 1828, so it's an older, much more accurate dictionary. It says to remain upright, to be supported by the roots, to be on its foundation, to be in a state of fixedness, hence to continue to endure. What we need is we need to stand. We need to have our roots deep in Jesus Christ, rooted and grounded in the truth, rooted and grounded in Him, so that we can be in a fixed state. In other words, not tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, being all messed up in the head by looking at the news and seeing what's going on around us and letting that rattle us up. We need to be people that stand where we stand for what we stand for and are able to stand no matter how bad the flood gets or how much comes at us. Because you are definitely, according to the Bible, you are in the end times. Now, not doctrinally as it applies to the Great Tribulation when the church is gone, but as it would apply to getting very, very close to that time period, we are not far from the Great Tribulation. All the Bible believers that I know, and even lost people that know a little bit of Bible, are recognizing now how God is going to allow, and the devil is going to use certain things that the Bible has always said is going to happen, like the mark of the beast. Like everybody believing a great lie, right? I mean, there's all these things that people have said, I know the Bible, I believe the Bible, right? But I just don't see how that's going to happen. Now you can. I know the Bible, I believe the Bible, but I just don't see I mean, it just doesn't make any sense to me how you know, the whole world's going to believe a great lie. The mark of the beast. How's everybody going to accept some kind of a mark? Nobody knows what the truth is or isn't anymore. We're like, does the vaccine work or doesn't it? Does the booster work or doesn't it? Is it good for you? Is it not? Should you use all these other... Never mind. That the government's trying to say is frowned on because it doesn't work. You know what I'm talking about? Everybody's just confused right now. Unless you know the truth of that book in your lap. You have the truth. You ought to know where that truth is. You ought to get your roots down in that truth. And no matter what begins to take place in the world around you, stand on the truth of the Word of God. Now you've been saying Jesus is coming for years. Where's the promise of His coming? Scoffer. You acting like that about it is proof we're getting close, because He said that there were going to be scoffers in the last time saying, where's the prophet of His promise of His coming? And now you got all this mess going on around the world for the last 2 years that has literally changed everybody's mindset. Even lost people that don't believe the Bible have gotten shook up and come to me like, hey, what do you think's going on? Is that the mark? Can they change your DNA when they give you the shot? So if they do change your DNA or something, I was listening to a podcast, and does that mean you're even human anymore? Intelligent people, educated people, so jacked up by the world we're living in that they're asking the dumbest questions. And I'm not trying to be mean or tell you, you know, did I ever hear him say, like, there's no dumb question except the one you don't ask? I've always had a hard time with that. My college professor says, no dumb questions, men, gentlemen, unless except the ones you don't ask. Okay, I got one for you. If that's an inaccurate word to match the original Greek, why here did they use it? But over here, with the same Greek word, they used a different word. And then when you show me the definition, both of those English words are viable options for that same Greek root word. And why is it when they picked the other viable option in this chapter, it lined up doctrinally exactly where we're at, and the guys that were translating it didn't even believe what that verse now reinforces as doctrine? They obviously didn't have a clue what they were doing other than accurately translating and letting God give them which word needs to be picked out of that original Greek word. Did I just confuse you half to death? All of a sudden, that was a dumb question. There's no dumb question. I just don't trust people when they tell me that. Honestly, now don't take this wrong. Some questions are kind of dumb. I ask my wife dumb questions all the time. I am the master of dumb question asking. Because I don't listen close enough to what she just said. If I learned to be a better listener, my marriage would go way better than it is. And I have a great marriage. But, you know, it can always improve, right? But that being said, I'm not trying to tell you don't ask questions, because sometimes if you really want to know the answer, even a dumb question should be asked. Is that fair? Yes. Listen, folks, some people ask me some of the dumbest things. And you're like, man, I told you 20 years ago you needed to be in church faithfully, learning your Bible and growing in the Lord, because you would not be so jacked up, plowed over, and knocked down right now if you were in that book and believed that book. See what I'm saying? We got to stand. There's another thing that's very interesting, which I'm going to show you in just another minute or two. The word withstand. Withstand and stand show up in the same verse we'll see in just a little bit. They have the same root word because they're both stand, right? So why does he use withstand instead of stand? Withstand has a different meaning. Now, you're going to know that because it's a withstand, not stand. Okay? I'm not trying to be, I am trying to be a little sarcastic, but I'm not trying to be a jerk. What I'm trying to do is undermine all the guys that tell you you can change your Bible. All the guys that try to tell you that that doesn't really matter and you can get rid of the these and thous because nobody understands the these and thous. And I learned something recently about the these and thous. Man, it just grew my faith in the King James Bible. Thee and thou mean something different than you and your. And that's why the King James translators used them in the same verse, but didn't stay consistent. They used thee and you in the same verse. And thee and thou was already obsolete when they translated the King James Bible. It was already Old English to them. Well, that Old English Bible in your lab, listen, just ignore them when they start undermining your faith in your Bible. Ignore them. And stand strong in the fact that God gave you every word that He wants you to have. And when you don't understand it, trust it and move on, because there's plenty in there you are understanding. And with time, God may crack the light open for you on some of the stuff. It's amazing. The word withstand, to oppose, to resist either with physical or moral force, to withstand the attack of troops. So it's different than just, I'm not moving. And can I tell you, that's all some of you need this morning. I'm not trying to make a bunch of, you know, Navy SEAL Christians out of church members. I'm not trying to, it'll get people killed, brother. Not everybody's able to do it, okay? I'm not trying to say everybody has got to jump on board and be aggressive about their witness. I'm saying everybody in this room needs to get their roots down and stand with Jesus Christ, stand in your faith, and don't quit, no matter how bad the pressure gets. Now, we can all do that, right? But there's some of you that you need to push back. When the onslaught comes, God wants you to push back. When you get the opportunity, there's times God will ask you to push back. And I'm not talking about politics. I'm talking about with the gospel. You understand that? But there's another word here that we just read in the text that's standard. Standard is different than both of the things we already saw, stand and withstand. Standard, which is what God's going to raise up in verse number 19, has to do with an ensign of war, a staff with colors. That's a flag. It's that which is established by a sovereign power as a rule by which others are to be adjusted. That's a standard. That's saying, wait a second. I see where the flood is going around me. I'm even talking about other churches that claim to be found in the Bible but aren't. There is a flood of wickedness going against God. And I stand under other colors. I'm not going with the flow. I believe that there's God Almighty in heaven raising up some people to stand up in the generation in which they live. And I want to be a part of that crew. Standard. So when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. In every time period throughout human history, no matter how bad and dark it got, and every time people turned away from God, got the Bible out of hands, promoted religion, but tried to keep you from personally coming to know Jesus Christ as your Savior and knowing why you believe that from a Bible, they tried to lock that book up. And I'm referring to the Roman Catholic Church. They wanted to keep it in the pulpit and out of your lap. And they tried to kill men and put them in jail that were trying to print Bibles in the common man's language. All throughout human history. All throughout Islamic history. We're going to find the believers in Jesus Christ that believe He's the Son of God, not just some prophet like Muhammad. And we are going to obliterate them from the planet if they don't convert. Now, wait a second. What logical thinking is it to say I can convert you with a sword to your throat and anything changed inside? They don't care about your soul. They care about you conforming to their flood. And everywhere you find that running rampant, you find social problems, financial problems, bloodshed, war. People, you're a preacher, yeah, well, you know, religion shed more blood. I believe that. Religion shed more blood throughout human history than anything. World War II was a religious war. It wasn't a racist war. Hitler was a Catholic. A lot of that in bed with the Catholic Church, you'd be shocked how much Islam and Roman Catholicism, that, do you know that's what the Crusades were? Christians. That was a Roman Catholic war. When I was a boy, we had two end signs up in the church. On one side, there was the American flag. On the other side, there was the Christian flag. And every service, we do a pledge to the American flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. And I'm not patriotic, okay? But in church, I'm pledging allegiance to a nation that's voting in every sin under the planet to make it legal and giving everybody rights to speak their own truth, but somebody that believes the Bible, they're escalating the pressure to try to shut you down. We're going right the way Canada's gone and the way England's gone. We're just a few years behind. So if you want to find out what's going on, you study what's going on over there, what's going on in Canada, and it's coming to a house, a street near you soon. And then we make the flag, the pledge, the Christian flag. I pledge allegiance to the Christian flag. And then we pledge allegiance to the Bible, which I'm okay with that one, but I remember my preacher said, we're doing away with that Christian flag. A little boy. You might even remember this. So that's a Catholic flag. Oh, of course, we've always pledged allegiance to the flag. So what? That's a Catholic flag. We're getting it out of here. That's not the ensign we march under. It was Roman Catholicism and Islam that the Crusades were all guilty of. It was never a Bible-believing, gospel-preaching preacher or church or denomination or movement. It was Roman Catholicism. God wants to raise up a standard in this day and age. And I am not talking about bloodshed. I have a Savior so powerful that by His Holy Spirit, He can get a hold of your mind and your heart and show you exactly what you need to do to be saved. He can show you that you're a sinner. He can show you, especially from that book, but He does it in your conscience and creation, who He is. And if you'll accept that, He'll lead you down that path. He'll show you you're a sinner. He'll show you because of sin, you're going to burn in hell for eternity. And then He'll show you who Jesus Christ is and what He did when He came and died on the cross of Calvary so that your sins are already paid for and you can go to heaven when you die washed clean of your sin. That's how powerful He is. And He's amazing because He doesn't have small man syndrome. Heaven is His throne and the earth is His footstool. So He can say you should do this because in the end it's going to get kind of rough on you if you don't. And I'd rather you do this, but it's your call. I got to put a gun to somebody's head and say, you touch Jesus, I'm going to blow you up. Convert or die. What kind of an impotent God you got? Right. Amen. He needs some kind of stupid thing like that. The God I got, he has the capacity to fill His man so much that when they tie him to a stake and light the fires, He looks at him and says, gentlemen, can you make it any hotter? And starts singing hymns to God while he's going out. That's the God I serve. He's got the power to fill me and help me and protect me and give me the grace I need to get through the time I'm in, no matter how bad it gets. But He will not expect me to use my power to force somebody else to convert. That's foolishness. That's proof of a weak God. The standard we're talking about today is one that we march under the ensign of Christ. Our flag is the Bible, the Word of God. And our weapons are not carnal, but mighty unto God to the pulling down of strongholds. I'm telling you so much right now, I believe this morning, Almighty God is so powerful that if somebody will accept the truth, they can have their sin washed away and eternity gets changed through a prayer. Eternity! That's powerful, man. Look back at verse number 1. I want to show you what kind of a flood they had going on in their day, because I want you to see how much this lines up with the day and age we're living in. He says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither His ear heavy that it cannot hear. What about Russia? Let the world worry about that stuff. What about the economy? What if Joe Biden, or God help us, Hillary, gets in next? Do you really care about that? What if persecution starts against the church? Oh, you're running already. All we're doing is seeing the flood coming our way, and it's building speed, and you're already running? What if persecution does come? If I'm standing with God, I'm going to be able to stand, and withstand and raise the standard and say, let them come. I'm not trying to talk like a tough guy. I do not want to be persecuted. But what I'm trying to say is if your fears start building up in your head, you start giving credence to that already, you're not going to make it when it comes. If you'll just dig in and stand for God and get close to Him and withstand right now, then when it gets here, you'll have the courage to stand. God can give you the grace. His hand is not shortened that it cannot save. Neither is His ear heavy that it cannot hear. We're going to get to this in a minute, but do you pray? God can hear your prayers. And He does. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear. Why don't we get our prayers answered? I'm going to submit to you, it's probably because you got some stuff going on in your life. Even though you're saved and on your way to heaven, you might have some stuff going on in your life you need to clean out a little bit. We're just in a sinful generation. We're in a wicked time. I'm going to show you in just a minute. Listen, even among saved people, there is a lack of holiness and a lack of purity. It's like jokes and innuendos. You can't say anything that the sky is blue without somebody twisting that into something perverted. And it used to be always just the men. Now it's the women, and not just women in the world, saved women. God help us. No wonder we're not getting our prayers through. No wonder we want to see people saved and they're not coming to Christ. No wonder we're in the mess we're in. There's just puke all over everywhere you go. Billboard signs, Facebook, Instagram, internet. It's just everywhere. Constantly filling your head with ungodliness. And no longer do we go, you know what, God, that was wrong. I shouldn't have said that. That was a wrong thought. If I just said that, God, that tells me and you and the people I said it in front of, what's going on in my mind all the time? Because that wouldn't have come across that way, that wouldn't have come out that way, if I didn't have something wrong up here, Lord. I shouldn't have heard that when He said the sky is blue. I think maybe I'm the problem. I am done with that kind of joking among saved people. I expect it out of the world. Not among Christians. Verse 3, your hands are defiled with blood, your fingers with iniquity, your lips have spoken lies, your tongue hath muttered perverseness. You see that? I'm a Christian. I don't kill nobody. Yeah, we see a lot of people kill people's character. They're saved. They're in church. Oh, you know what they used to be? You murderer. Dropping insinuations about a man's character, you know. You know, there's a lot of that going on nowadays. Women are using that card to get people in trouble when they want them out of their life. Yes, sir. You don't got a right to scream, me too, when you provoke the whole thing, threw fuel on the fire. He acted on it because you led him to believe it was good. And then later, when you feel bad or guilty about it or have an opportunity to use it against him. I'm not justifying the pervert. You understand that?
Yes, sir.
I'm just saying, well, let's examine all the facts in the court of law. Ma'am. That's good preaching, ain't it? Thank you, I appreciate it. Character assassination. That's murder. None calleth for justice, verse 4. Nor any pleadeth for truth. None calleth for justice. Or pleadeth. They're letting people out of jail early. Burning up cities and killing people and turning a blind eye. He abuses some little girl. Rapes her, kills her. And then it's insanity. I agree, you're nuts. And I don't care how insane you are. Well, he was abused growing up. Him and millions of other people. I don't feel a shred of mercy. I'm a girl dad. I don't think I'm ever going to feel a shred of mercy. You know what the book teaches? If they kill somebody, they die. That's Old Testament. No, that's government. That still applies today. A land cannot be cleansed of blood but by the blood of the one that shed it. Well, I know, but he had such a troubled upbringing, and you know, he actually was such a good guy, and then they find pictures where he's smiling and looks nice and tries to make him not look like the insane lunatic he is. he's a little mentally ill. I don't care. I know that sounds horrible, doesn't it? But judge what I'm saying logically. Guess what you do with the crazy man when he kills somebody? You kill him. Then other crazy people keep their crazy a little more under control. No justice anymore. They're not begging God for truth. They're running everything by their own agenda, their goals, what they want to get done, and if I can use this against law enforcement, if I can use this for my agenda. Not, what did you do? They conceive mischief, they bring forth iniquity. They hatch cockatrice eggs and weave the spider's web. He that eateth of their eggs dieth, and that which is crushed breaketh out into a viper. Their webs shall not become garments. They shall cover themselves with their work. Neither shall they cover themselves with their works. That's your tribulation salvation. That's because we're in Isaiah, and he's talking to the nation of Israel. We're making an application to us today. Their webs shall not become garments. Second half of the verse, their works are works of iniquity. The act of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they have not known. We need to work together. We need to come across. It's not going to happen. You understand that, right? The enemies come in like a flood. They will not have peace. They want to shut you down and shut you up, but they want to feel peace all the time about their wickedness. Right. So the more you preach the truth, the more you stand for the truth, the more you be a standard that God's raising up for the day and age you live in, the more they're going to hate you. Mark it out. There's no judgment in their goings. I mean, like, there is literally no judgment in looking at a little boy because he grabs a Barbie doll and throws it at a girl. See him grab a Barbie doll? He might be a girl inside. So let me ask you about your faith in Jesus Christ. Oh, I don't believe in faith. I believe in science. She's a tomboy. You ever hear of tomboys before? My whole life, tomboys. There's nothing about a tomboy. She likes to ride horses or, you know, climb trees, and she's a little girl. Nothing about a tomboy that means they're male inside. Show me the science on that. Because listen, big mouth, I can show you the science on why the Bible's the Word of God. I can show you science on it. There's science in that book. They had no way of knowing in that day. Somebody had to give them an inside scoop, and they didn't even know what they were writing down. The Bible is not anti-science. It's anti-science falsely so-called. So that, well, I believe in the science, and I don't believe in God. I don't believe in faith. You got your faith in the whole transgender movement when they're putting it in little kids' heads. And then they're wrecking their body. So if that individual between 8, 9, 10, 13, 16, 18, and 40 changes their view of things. Anybody change your view of things since you were a kid? Okay. If they change their view, these wicked leaders, these child abusers, have led them to destroy their body. God can save them and will and help them get it back together as much as possible, but there will be lifelong ramifications, not just physically, but psychologically. Oh, but you are not looking for judgment, you are not looking for truth, and you are not being fair. You got your faith in some kind of a stinking demon-possessed mess while you refuse to put your faith in the Bible because you're afraid of what that book's going to tell you about you. I want the truth, folks, and I mean this from my heart. I want it even when God puts it on me in a negative way. Mike, here's your problem. Okay, Lord, if that's the truth, I'll try to line it up. Forgive me. That's a wonderful way to live. If you can just get over that initial pride problem, if you can just bite the bullet and humble yourself and let God be true and every man a liar, including you, then once that truth settles in and you start working on your problems, nothing but good comes out of it. But that's a hard message to take, ain't it? Thank God you people like Bible. The way of peace have they not known, they've made them crooked paths. You see that? Now God says he's going to judge them out of their own mouth, right? Every mouth may be stopped, all the world becomes guilty before God, even the things that come out of your mouth will God use against you at the judgment. So they got crooked paths, right? You know what even homosexuals themselves say about themselves? I'm not what? Didn't you just say? Do you realize what you just said? I'm not straight. So you know what you're doing is crooked. It's in them naturally to know what's wrong. Now listen, if somebody turns to Christ to get saved, don't listen to these idiotic preachers that say God hates queers and, you know, you can't get saved and all that stuff. That is idiotic, foolish preaching. God sent his son, Jesus Christ. He loved them so much, he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross to give them a way to get their sin taken care of, just like he gave you a way to get your sin taken care of. Sin of what? Oh, I know, you grew up in church, you're a little self-righteous, holy-rolling, arrogant, little better than everybody else. Yeah, that sin. You get it forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ, same way they can. But their paths are crooked. More and more of it. Do you know they've run a successful campaign? Not even 20 years ago, it was less than 2% of the population. Now they've put it into kids' heads so much that little kids are trying this stuff and then realizing, ooh, that was gross, that's unnatural, that's not right, and they can't ever walk back the damage that's been done already because they've run a campaign to get it in their heads, and at the same time, the day and age you're living in, they've done everything they can to get people out of church, and preachers have done everything they can to make church more palatable so they can fill their pews and their coffers. That's the goal. So, I mean, where's truth anymore? Verse 9, therefore is judgment far from us, neither doth justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity. For brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope for the wall like the blind. I think we're almost to the end of herd immunity. And they're going to look for light, and light's not coming. Do you understand that? As close as we are to the end times, and as much as we've kicked God out of the church and the world, it's evil men and seducers shall do what? Don't be looking for light from this world, folks. I'm not trying to drag you down. I'm not worried about it. I'm not panicked about it. I don't care. You know why? Because I got something to stand on. I know what I'm about, and I know who made this whole thing, and I know who's going to fix it, and I'm just sticking with him. But they're groping a wall, hoping for light. They're groping the wall. They're blind. We grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday, bright as it could be, as in the night. We are in desolate places as dead men. You know why? They've turned off the light of the Word of God. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. Can I encourage you? Don't you ever shut off the light. Ever. Light rejected becomes lightning. But when you realize God's showing you something, even if it's about you, accept what God showed you, and you will walk in joy, and you'll get more light down the road for the future as you're ready and able to handle it. God will keep pouring it on you. We stumble at noonday. We're in desolate places. Verse 11, we roar all like bears. I'm so sick of it all! And you got little boys walking into school and smoking people. And more of it. You got kids throwing fits with their parents and not learning anything at all about judgment, and God told the parents how to teach them that stuff. And they'll view law enforcement and they'll view God the way they view you. So go ahead, tell them 50 times. The repercussions for your actions are coming. 1, 2, 3, 47, 92. I've never heard them go 1, 2, 3. What'd I say? I hit 3. Well, you're 2 times a pushover. I'm not trying to say, I don't believe in abusing kids, okay? But God put a specific spot on their anatomy where there's no vital organs and it stings a little bit, and they learn early. My kids are past this age. They learn early and often, like, yeah, that probably wasn't a good decision. When he speaks, I need to listen. And you're going to need that when they're teenagers. Well, I told you not to drive drunk. Next time you're in trouble. I told you when the police turn their lights on to pull over. Next time you're going to get tased, and hopefully he doesn't grab the gun instead. This drives me nuts, man. Kids are supposed to be a blessing, but they ain't when they're the boss, when they're roaring like bears. When they're allowed to throw fits with you and backtalk other adults. Somebody was telling me this week, he said, I told him what to do, kid in the youth group, and he said, you ain't my parent. He said, listen, son, let me tell you how this works, okay? This don't work like that. For all intents and purposes, I am right now because they turned you over to me and I'm responsible for your safety. So you'll do what I say. I know parents that teach their kids that stuff. Like, you know, and I'm not accusing these parents of that. I don't know. Teenagers are teenagers, right? God help us. Mine might be doing the same thing right now. I'm not there. You know what I mean? But I know parents that actually teach their kids that. You don't listen to anybody but us. Hey, mom and dad, your authority problem's rubbing off on your kids. And since you have that spirit, you've taught them to have that spirit without knowing you were teaching them, and now they won't listen to authority. They're roaring like bears, that temper's out. And look at the funny thing about that, and mourn like sour doves. They're heartbroken. So they're all aggressive and angry and getting in trouble and all this stuff, but they're doing it because the heart's broke. Miserable. Why? Because you ain't got God. That's why. We look for judgment. There's none. Salvation, but it's far off. Our transgressions are multiplied before thee. Our sins testify against us. Our transgressions are with us. As for our iniquities, we know them. I already commented on that. You're far from God. In transgressing and lying against the Lord and departing away from our God, see it? Speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. Now watch verse 14 and 15. Judgments turn away backward, justice standeth afar off, for truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. Stop real quick. All this time he's been telling you about the flood coming, right? That's what you're living in. You're living in it, and it's going to intensify. Watch. All of a sudden, he makes a switch. He says, there's people out there that are still departing from evil. Isn't that cool? You guys, some people around us just don't know any better. And if we can care about them, not be, well, you this and you that, don't you know that's not scientific? What's the matter with you? Oh, you're rejecting God. Like, yeah, some of them just don't know. You know, even some saved people just haven't been taught a lot. They're born again already, but they haven't taught. Some of them haven't been taught a lot because that's what they want. There's nothing you can do with that. Some lost people, when you show them the truth, they don't want it. Let them go. There's nothing you could do. Okay, man, have a nice life. I don't care. I mean, I care, but it's your choice, so I'm not going to, you know, get on you and push you and all that stuff. Sorry. But some of them haven't heard. Some of them haven't been taught. And some of you who have been taught and have heard, you're trying to do right. You're trying to get away from the evil. You're trying to knock it off when the Lord shows you. You're trying to grow. You know what God said you did? You made yourself a prey. It's right there in the verse. Then it departeth from evil, maketh himself a prey. When you try to do right, they will target you. When you say, I'm serving Jesus Christ, I'm going to be in church when the doors are open, I'm going to grow in the Lord, I'm going to read my Bible cover to cover this year, I'm going to learn to start praying, I'm going to learn and start asking God to help me take the preaching more seriously than ever before so that I can stand, I can withstand, I can be a part of the standard God's raising up. If he's got somebody to use in the last day, I want to be used. And the adversary is going to go, okay. You want? Have you not seen God work against people that are coming closer and closer to getting saved? Haven't you seen every time you make a decision to serve God, all of a sudden stuff starts happening? It'll be more than just excuses. Sometimes it'll be reasons. There's a big difference between the two. Some of you had to push through the reasons and go, you know what? I'm doing what I said I was going to do because I want to be a part of that standard. But the enemy comes after you. And you'll look at how God feels about it. If you'll notice, look at verse 14. Verse 15. Truth faileth, he departeth, make himself a prey, and the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. God watches it when you get beat up for him and take it. It makes him mad that nobody did right about that. He's watching his kid get picked on by some other kid, and that little kid's a stinking punk and doesn't want the truth. And his kid's not perfect, but is trying to do right. And they keep messing with him, and he's going, nobody's fixing that problem. Can I tell you something? You don't want to stir up God's ire towards you. But if you're the one getting picked on, your father's watching. He's going to let you go through it long enough to get you some character built. But sooner or later, he's going to show up and take care of you. You can mark it down, just keep doing right. Let me quickly show you my 3 points. That was all introduction. And all God's people said, oh no! We're going to die of starvation. Verse 19, how does God raise up a standard? The Spirit of the Lord, see it at the end, shall lift up a standard against him. You know how God raises up a standard? By the Spirit of the Lord. Okay, good. How does the Spirit of the Lord work? Look at Isaiah chapter 58. It says, cry aloud, spare not. Lift up a voice like a trumpet and show my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. He said, what I want you to do, Isaiah, is I want you to get out there. I want you to lift up your voice and I want you to preach to my people. That's us in this day and age. God calls a preacher to lift up his voice and to preach to you the word of God. Why does your preacher got to get so loud? Doesn't he know I have a headache? Yeah, right. I know how everybody's feeling this morning. That might be God, but not me. I preach the way I preach because I believe it's biblical. Well, I've been to so many churches and no preacher acts like that. Why are you all hung up on how I'm acting? What was said? Did you get Bible or didn't you? God told Isaiah, this is how I want you to do the job, and I am trying the best I know how to preach the Bible the way God has taught me to preach the Bible. I know what I'm about. Listen, you don't have to yell to be preaching. But some guys have to because that's what God said he wants them to do. I preached the way I was trained to preach, and I was trained. I mean, there was like very few human beings that had the opportunity to sit there under that preacher and get some things rubbing off on them. You know what? Most people went to the Bible colleges, you know. They learned the professional way of doing it. I went there, and it didn't work for me. That was Saul's armor, man. I'm just a David. Just give me some 5 smooth stones. Let me get a hold of God, and then let me get out there and fight him, man. Well, you're not supposed to fight like that. Well, I'm called to be a fighter. That's not nothing about my ears. I'm not talking about jits or nothing stupid like that. That's dumb stuff. I'm called to fight the good fight of faith. I'm called to be a soldier of Jesus Christ. I'm called to lift up my voice and preach the word of God, and that's what I'm doing. You know, some men are called of God to pastor, but they're just more teachers. So I don't get upset with people, and I just don't like him. Okay, fine. But no matter what you do, find a church that believes the Bible and has strong, sound doctrine where you can learn more about Jesus Christ and learn more about rightly dividing the word of truth. And listen, even if you don't like my style, if you don't have another one to go to, you're stuck with me. Why? Because it's about the doctrine. You won't stand, you won't make it, you won't produce the fruit without the book. You ever see that it said over there, the time will come when they will not do what with sound doctrine? Oh. They won't endure sound doctrine? That means it kind of is miserable sometimes? Yeah. Sometimes it's miserable. You know what you're doing? You're crucifying the flesh and getting rewards in heaven for sitting under preaching like this, because I guarantee you sooner or later it rubbed you the wrong way, made you look bad in front of your kids, made you look bad in front of your spouse, and if they got an evil spirit about them, they'll make sure they rub it in your face. But you go back anyhow. I think you're getting rewards in heaven for seeking the truth in a place like this and putting up with it. I think it's good for us. Amen. All I know, folks, this is all I know. I want to be God's man. I want to be the one, if God will let me, to say, hey guys, let's rally around the standard. I ain't the standard. But if God could use me to rally some people around it, man, that'd be a privilege. That'd be just be such a great thing in this last day. But preaching's not just for you. He tells them reprove, rebuke, and exhort, right? Two negative, one positive. It's tough, man. I compassionately understand that it's tough. And if you don't like my style, would you stick around long enough to at least get to know me personally and say, okay, I'm not that bad of a guy? Maybe. Maybe you'll hate me more. I don't know. But, you know, Jim likes me, and I'm making fun of him all the time. So I told him back there, I'm sorry. He said, no, it's good for me, so whatever. Isaiah 61, please. Preaching's not just for God's people. It's also for the world around us. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of the vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn. You saw that roaring like bears and mourning like doves? To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes. You know what your sin is? It's ashes. It's got the stench of hell on it. That's sin. God says, I can take that away and make you beautiful. The oil of joy for mourning. Hey, you know what? God can give you joy. I didn't say he'll change your circumstances. I said God can give you joy in the middle of your circumstances. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. You know what's flooded not just the world but even the church? The spirit of heaviness. Yeah, why don't we lighten that up and be just excited, praising God? You ever notice when you're excited and praise, you have a tendency to want to bounce and jump? There's a skip in your step, you know? And if you're a little kid, you're like, yeah, yeah, you know what I mean? Well, you know why? You're not feeling heavy. That ye might be called trees that are standing of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Church, you got to understand that God uses a standard against what's coming. And he does it by the Spirit of the Lord. And he does it through preaching. God hath in these due times manifested his word through preaching. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it's the power of God. He's chosen the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. It's an amazing plan. And you need preaching in this last day. It's funny because we went through about a 2-year period and I'd never heard it before, but some people were saying, Pastor, you've been real comforting lately. I appreciate it. And I was never accused of that ever in all of my ministry. Has anybody ever made the accusation of, Pastor, you're a really comforting guy to be around? It's just never been what I got. And I began to look back and see the way the Spirit of God had been directing, because there was so much going on with COVID and everybody was afraid that God had directed towards comfort for a little while. And now I'm noticing, and it's almost bothering me a little bit, because I don't want to be that hard-nosed, you know, I'm a pastor too, and that's growing on me every day. But I'm realizing, man, God's Spirit's been leading for a little bit more of a rallying call. Now that everything's looks like it might be getting better, people are going to go right back to life like nothing ever happened. People were telling me during shutdown, I'm coming to church as soon as things open up again. And then, oh, opened up, pressure's gone. Nope, never saw him. So now it's time to get a little bit more direct with some of the preaching and start calling the baby ugly and saying, listen, the Lord's coming. We're getting close to the end. Stay under the sound of Bible preaching. You need it. Your family needs it. And the Lord is coming. So let's stand up. Back in chapter 59, I just got a couple more and I'm going to make them fast. I'm going to touch them and go. Look at verse 16. He saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. You know what God's still looking for today? Praying people. This one is harder for me than anything. I can read my Bible at a fast pace. Let me just say that. How much I read is between me and God, and I don't want to let my flesh get in there. But I can read my Bible at a very fast pace. And I'm not a fast reader. I just read a lot. I could say, and this isn't accurate, this isn't a confession of what I do, but I could say I could easily read my Bible for 2 hours much easier for me than to pray for 10 or 15 minutes. I just said a lot. Because the devil resists everything you do that's right to do. He'll be glad with you getting to know your Bible and getting to know from the Bible how to pray right in line with God as long as you don't pray. He's taking a loss when you learn your Bible. You understand that, right? As long as you're learning it and trying to apply it the right way, he's taking a loss. But he'd rather take that loss than to see you getting on your knees and getting a hold of God Almighty. He wondered, what in the what? I mean, what? It's 12 o'clock already in Michigan, and nobody's, I mean, like, I wonder how much God heard from born-again people this morning. What? Do we not realize the day that we're in? Listen, I'm not talking even about prodigals. Do any of you have children? Sir. You understand what they're going against. Do you understand the gravity of what we're dealing with? We ought to be on our face in prayer, seeking God. Prayer works when it's done according to that Bible in your lap and you get a hold of God Almighty and you cry out in the name of Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God comes in and takes them up with groanings which cannot be uttered because we know not what to pray for as we ought. So that's not an excuse. Amen. God will translate the Spirit of God speaking in you to God Almighty. And I'm not talking about blah, 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 yabba, dabba, untie a bow tie, blah, 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 the Spirit's praying in the Spirit. That's not in the Bible. Right. It's getting on your face and the best you can. You're born again. You get on your face the best you can and you try to talk to your Heavenly Father. And you got plenty to pray for. I don't care how much you got in the bank. I don't care how much debt you don't have. I don't care how secure you are in this world. You got a lot to pray for. Amen. And if you don't, put me on the list. And more importantly, my wife. And my kids. I'll put Grace first, the kids, and me last. Why? We got a lot to pray for. God can't believe so much of us. Not harping on you. I told you it's the hardest thing I do. Just don't even try. God wants to raise up a standard today of people that seek his face in prayer. Last point, and I told you I was going to move fast. Look at verse 17. He put on righteousness as a breastplate, and helmet of salvation upon his head. He put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. According to his deeds, accordingly he will repay. Fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. To the islands, he will repay recompense. Now, first thing I want you to see is you are protected by God if you join the standard. I didn't tell you that before. I made it sound like we're getting blown over and we're just going to hold the Alamo and just let them slaughter us all. I didn't tell you that on purpose. Because that is exactly the way we sign up. Did you hear what I said? When you join the standard, you join saying, God, I will put my life on the line. He saw there was a breach. And he wondered, when he saw that there was a breach, no man stood in the gap. You know how many people are getting taken out by the devil right now? How many people never bounced back from COVID? How many preachers even are out of the ministry? When you see a breach, you stand in the gap and make up the hedge. You say, there's my opportunity. More and more people are defecting. More and more people are quitting. Less and less people want the truth nowadays. And when there's a vacancy, I am jumping in that vacancy. I might not even be trained for it. This might not have ever been what I thought I saw for myself. But God Almighty showed me there's a chance. So maybe even somebody like me can get in. Because there's a hole and I'm going to step into that hole. And if I perish, I perish. If I die, I die. I didn't join the army because I was looking for security. I joined the army because I wanted to be a part of something I believed in and I loved. It was a cause bigger than me. And what we're doing this morning is a cause bigger than us. So we got to be willing to say, I'll put my life on the line. But let me tell you something. God will take care of you. He protects you. We don't have time, but I was going to show you Ephesians chapter 6. I mean, don't all stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, the breastplate of righteousness, right? It says in the evil day, having done all to stand. It says right in there, you can go look at it later, it says to withstand. You know what you're supposed to do? You're supposed to put the armor on. If you look at the armor, there's nothing for your knees. You know why? If you're on your knees while you're fighting, your knees are already protected. Guess what, folks? I can't find nothing for your back. You fight off your knees. Don't complain when you get your knees taken out. You cut and run. Don't complain when the enemy gets you in the back. Because when I'm going the direction God's going, and there's nothing for my back, it's because God never intended me to turn around. So when I do, I'm out of His will. I'm going the wrong way. And the day and age you're living in, folks, there's more and more pressure for you not to stand against the wave. And man, it's getting to be a bit much. And I don't think it's that big of a deal if I do a little less. And I don't know that really. I mean, aren't we being a little bit too hard on? I get it, but you know, you're unprotected. Why didn't you stand with the standard? We have a standard, folks. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ, and our field manual for the battle is the Word of God. So this morning, my message is real simple. Will you recommit? I never quit. I'm not talking about that. If you did, then that's the message. Get going in the right direction again. But what I'm saying is most of you probably have it. Will you recommit this morning to your Savior? That, Lord, I'll stand with you for your word, and for a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church, and God, help me with my prayer life. Help me reach some people. Help me be a part of what that standard and what it means to be that standard. I want to recommit to you that the flood's coming, but God, I am on your side. Help me stand. Stand to our feet this morning with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Altar's open if you want it. That's fine. You can make your way down here. Brian's coming to play, but don't wait for the piano. If the Lord's dealing for you, you don't need music to manipulate you. If the Lord's dealing with you,